think I'll just stand here, if you don't mind, and speak to you. I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of the love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. Tell of dear, Jesus loves me. I am so glad Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. My father sang those to me when I was a kid, 4, 5, and 6. Man of faith passed on to me. Of course, I became emancipated and followed the Lord myself, but our parents in my day and age were such an influence. Took us to church, and to see so many young church children this day and age, it's grieving me so. The little children, they heard, and that's how we were brought up in the church. But I'm just so glad to be part of the Gideons and just share with you, you know, just some of the work that we're doing and what's going on. I just came from a Bible distribution. You said a Bible distribution on Sunday. We went to Marine Corps Reserve Center this morning, out there about 8. The returning deployed Marines had not returned by the time I left, but families were gathering to greet them when they came in, and we gave out Bibles to all the family members, little children, parents. We gave those that wanted the scripture, those that would take them. So we were there, and I imagine we gave out probably over 100. And we have the testaments that we were going to give the returning Marines. These are what we call military testaments. They're all, of course, inside have the Word of God, the New Testament, you know, Matthew through Revelation, and with the Psalms and Proverbs in them. They are color-coded. This camo is for military. We have the orange that we give to the students in our local schools, fifth grade and above. And then we have green testaments that we give out to our college and university students. I was at Bible distribution back in end of August, last week in August, returning Virginia Tech students. We're coming by, I was standing on the drill field, Gideons were distributed throughout, and we were giving out testaments as the students came by. We gave out around 6,000. And one man, as he walked by, he said, "You're the Gideons." He said, "This is great, what work you're doing." And he reached out to the Bible. He came off the path of, you know, students kind of going, we got out of the way. He said, "Can I pray for you?" And I said, "Amen, and you pray for me." So he prayed. He prayed, and then I asked his name, and I prayed for God's blessing on him, you know, as he continued his studies, and God would use him in a mighty way. And then another student, a little while later, came by. He said, "Yeah, I think I'll take one of those Bibles." He said, "I'm Muslim, and but I think I want to take one." He said, "Our religion is pretty much the same," and we got off the path again. I said, "Well, not quite. I think you need to read this little testament. You need to read this. And that will tell you about the true and living God. It will tell you that Jesus is the Savior of the world." I think as Muslims, you probably believe he's a prophet, but we believe he's the Son of God. So you need to read. So many opportunities, so many lost, and this word gets out all over the world. Just 200 countries we're in now. Let me tell you, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know that, don't you? We believe he created us in his image. Created woman from man. And we, isn't it such power, as the sermon says, Pastor Tom selected, I did not select the title. He knows what we talk about, the mighty word of God. Yeah, God, in the beginning, created us. And all this beautiful earth around us. How can you look at those beautiful peaks and know Blue Ridge Mountains is not the best of God? And we know. But we want to share so much with people, don't we? And there's so many ways we can share this wonderful word. And then we turn over to John. And in the first chapter, first verse, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. There was Jesus from the beginning. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." Just a wonderful, wonderful, loving Savior. And someone this morning, while we were gathered around the table, and I was passing Bibles, I came over, and he said, "Well, how can you believe this and that?" And I said, "I just believe. I don't know. God convicted me. It came in my heart and my mind." And I said, I believe, well, what about other religions? I said, you know, I just know that he's the true and living God, and that's what I believe. And I believe all the promises. But can you imagine someone dying for you? Do you know anyone, any other God that would die for you to redeem you, to save you from your sins? Do you know anyone like that? He's the true and living God. That's who he is. And that's what we believe. And that's why we come every Sunday night, to learn more and more. I'm 73 years old, and I know nothing. I pick this Bible up, and all of a sudden, I see so many things. Many of you know of my testimony of being in combat, overrun by the enemy. Six of us survived out of a squad of about 15. They were on top of us. We tried to get back to our command post. And you've heard me do this testimony before. As I'm lying there, certain I'm going to die. I mean, it isn't no way. They outnumbered us 10, 20 to 1. And we couldn't get back to that command post, and they weren't coming up to help us out. And that word of God, this power came to me, God came to me in that time to live as Christ and die as man. That's what he told me. You know, we read about Paul on the road. He was struck down. I was already a Christian. I had already made a profession in Jesus. But here's this word in my time of need. So it's going to be okay, because if you die, that's eternity for you. And call me down. Of course, I'm here today. But another miracle happened about a year later. Interpreter came down to that compound. We just buried 5 men, and our youngest was dying. He would die about a month later after Christmas. Around Christmas time, and Mr. Holmes came down and he said, "Okay, guys, I don't know what this book is, but you know, your holidays is coming up. We, this little book has something to do with this testament that he presented to us in that POW camp in the remote areas of Guatemala province and Trung Son Mountain Range in Vietnam. Under the harshest condition you can imagine, brought life to us. You know, the first thing I did when I got this, I started looking to live as Christ, to die as gain. Philippians 1:21. I had memorized scripture when I was growing up, but here it was. God gave me that scripture, and I wanted to know where it was. And I found Philippians 1:21. He brought that little Bible that had been the personal possession of a man that had captured just after me, James Alexander Daly. Daly was from Brooklyn, New York. He was a Jehovah's Witness. He told about earning his faith, going around the neighborhoods, people pouring hot water on him. He said, "Daly, you don't have to earn it. It's not earned. It's given free. It's by grace." But anyway, he had his little Gideon Testament on him when he was captured. And it ended up 10,000 miles away in a little old jungle camp, POW camp. And about 15 months later, Denny Hammond came to me. He said, "David," he said, "you know, you believe something. I want you to tell me what you believe." So I read to him Plan of Salvation in the back. And I told him about my conviction, about God touching my heart, you know, just through Sunday school, through all reading of Scripture and you know, the Bible lessons I learned and how I came to believe. And he said, "You know, I believe." And so we had a prayer there together. We did it in secret so the guards wouldn't see us. 2 days later, we buried Denny Hammond. He was dying at the time. He was seeking God. People are seeking God today. And we've got to share, brothers and sisters, we've got to share. I'm guilty of not, you know, I give out these testaments, and Gideon's do want us to do one a month where we buy our own testaments. We call them personal workers' testaments. This is part of our ministry. And we as Gideon members are supposed to take those testaments and then go approach someone, you know, whatever situation, say, "Would you like to give to them, witness to them about the love of Jesus?" Don't we all come up short? Try to remember every opportunity is an opportunity God's put there for you. So we're all witnesses. You all have a story. You all know God. And this dark world needs this good news. Don't I do not turn you. I hate the news. You know, I know that. You know, there's enough death and destruction. And I know, but this is about life and light and brightness. And that's why I'm so glad that I'm in this ministry. While I was away, my father, being a good Christian man, was approached by a minister. Would you like to join, you know? And so we told my father a little bit about the ministry and the work that he did. And my father's involved in church. He's teaching Sunday school. You know, he doesn't need anything else. He's still got two of his seven children still at home that are young, his second family. And he's got his father, Appalachian Power Company, as an electrical engineer. But he decided to join. You know what he told me? He said, "Dave, I decided ultimately to join because I thought one of those testaments is going to get in the hands of your captors. And they're going to read it, and they're going to be converted, and your treatment's going to change completely." I said, "Dad, that's a stretch, but you know, we do believe, don't we? We believe in the power and might of God." And I said, "But you know what happened? It ended up in Africa, in English, for us to use and to read, and every man in my prison read the scripture. Not all were saved, not all believed. We don't want to tell those stories. But God's just wonderful." Now, two men, John Nichols and Samuel Hill, were back in the Wild West, turn of the century, 1898. They were traveling salesmen. They had a pair of room. They didn't have an individual room for everybody. And Sam had promised his mother that he would read his Bible every day. He was up reading Bible Light in that hotel room out in Montana. And he woke up, John Nicholson, and he said, "Look, brother, if I bother you, I'll, you know, go out in the lobby and read." He said, "No, no, Chris, I won't leave it. Let's read together." And from that, can you imagine God brought those two men together at that time? From that, I mean, he does miracles. And they decided, we're going to, you know, spread God's word out, but we really think maybe we could become an association of traveling businessmen to get together. We'll become members, and when we travel and cross each other's paths, we'll meet for devotion every night. That grew into about 10 years later, the thought, maybe we need to put these Bibles in the hotels and motels. Or the hotels, they rent a motel. And so they did. 1908, they placed the first testaments in a little hotel out in Montana. And it's grown from two men to about 200,000 men and women who are members of the Gideon and the Auxiliary. We're not in just America. We're in 199 other countries. How God has grown our work. The bishop here was saying how the Philippines, he saw the work, you know, the testaments going out. And you, of course, when you travel, open the doors, but we, you know, that's very little of our work now, the hotels and motels. Most of the scriptures, 86 million were given out last year, were given to young people from the age of like 12. 26, that range. That probably accounts for about 80% of the ones, like I said, college and universities. We did some easy glass, and they changed the rules. And we went in the glass, left the books, the blue Bibles, the New Testaments, there on the table in the cafeteria. We used to be able to stand there with them because we need God's Word, we're responsible for it. But they don't let us stand there anymore. And I came by 100 prisons, like 1,400 students. To me, it's something. But the secretary, the principal secretary, said, "David, you don't know how much conversation it generated at lunchtime. Word got back to me. These kids are talking about this Bible. They're talking. You know, of course, they're Christians among that group, and young people have grown to meet and witness a lot at that age. So, you know, fascinated about Jesus. But that was something. God is still working in so many different areas." I went back about 2 years ago at Brook Hill West End. They had a new pastor come in. I went to meet him, and he was in the office as he's offering a seat, going behind his desk. He said, "You see that Gideon Testament over there?" And I looked, and it was green. I said, "You got that at the college and university?" He said, "I did." I said, "Yeah, they're color coded." I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, at the time I got it, it was about the time that I was getting ready to start college, so maybe I was visiting the campus there, Maps, and he was from Wisconsin." And so he said, getting those Bibles out, and he said, "I was not a Christian, did not go to church, I'm
parents, he says, "I wasn't drugging and alcohol at home, but I just wanted to be working." He said, "I wasn't a Christian, I wasn't saved." He said, "I was searching, and I already picked up a little daily devotional track, and I was looking over that when I got that Bible. Now I had some other ammunition, you know." So he said, "Went up to a lake to go fishing with his brother and some friends one weekend." He said, "I put that in my tackle box, that little testament, right in my tackle box. Put that devotional track in there too." And he said, "When the guys went out to fish the next day, the pretense that I had something to do, study, so I stayed back, got out of the tree, and I started reading this." He said, "I can't tell you the chapter, verse, book of the Bible. Something touched me, and I can't say it through that Indian testament." So we're glad to have Pastor Cook out at the Brook Hill Wesleyan. Just another testimony of someone who got this little Bible, and it's all because of you. You make us, keep us going. Your fingerprints are all over these testaments, these Bibles we give out, all over the world, the 86 million, because your church, you know, you're a new congregation, but you've been faithful to us, and we really appreciate that. We can't carry the burden alone, and I like to tell people we give too, and not just on the paying our dues, but we just have a state faith fund offering. That's the Gideon's members of the state of Virginia, $250,000. Okay? And that's just one offering. We have five faith fund offerings. We've got one coming up this week. We have a pastor appreciation luncheon. Your pastor and I were attending some time now, where we say thank you, pastors, you know, for having us coming to the church. And so we'll take up an offering there, and who knows how much we'll get. Last year, the Gideons in the United States of America gave about $26 million, all the members here in this country. So I like to say, we're partners, you know. You know, we don't just depend on what we do. We could not make it without you. We could not do the work we do. Thank you for having us. And I just, you know, people often ask, maybe young people want to know, the name Gideon, and a lot of you know the story of Gideon and Judges, and people of Israel were under the rule of the Midianites, and of course, you know, they were hiding in secret, planting their crops, and they were found out. But God came to this man, okay? And called him out. And you know the story. He first was reluctant to say, you know, I'm not a warrior, you know. He said, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I led you out to meet your brought you out of the house, delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians." And he told him he wanted to call him out. "Please, sir, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? Where are all the wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, did not the Lord bring us from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us." Sometimes we feel forsaken, don't we? But anyway, this man, Gideon, God called out. He started out against, it describes the enemy as like rain in the sand. I don't know how many, maybe 100,000. He started out with 30,000 men. He said, "Ooh, those are very good odds." But God had promised to deliver them, having the power of God, the power of His Word. He ended up with 300 men. And that's why this was chosen. And you know how they broke the jars, the lamps were exposed, the lights, and the 300 men in three different companies of 100 men apiece, you know, went after the enemy and slew them. And God delivered them. So that's who remained that. And then, this love of God, you all know in your hearts. You know He's a loving God. He's the true and living God. He loved us so much, John 3:16, we all know. We're here today because of that. Our life is full and complete because of Him. But to share the word again, I would encourage each one of you today. And again, I would like to thank you for making us
part of your outreach. And there will be an offering. Some of us have an offering plate in the back that you can give. This church is always been generous in giving to us. Every penny that you give, if you put a penny in the plate, that penny will go towards the printing of these. These still only cost $1.35 to print that Bible, and this still is printed for $5. If you keep the cost down, they have a printer that does enforce, have a contract. To cut down on shipping, we need to move, have some printers that are in Asia and some other countries, so we can cut down on shipping costs rather than have them printed here. But again, God's word is powerful. You know this point. You know his word, and you have been saved. So thank you for having us, and it's just always good to be with you and share, you know, this time together and share communion. Bishop's going to serve us in a minute, but I've been blessed so much, by the Lord, and so much opportunity presented to me. This opportunity just came up for this distribution we did for the military. We did a Bondi nursing home just recently and went room for room. And can you imagine if your loved ones and families not visiting, you know, get the word of God and someone to come in the room and we pray for these people. So we're out there. We're doing the work. And we're all for it. And that allows what you give to go to print these Bibles. No administrative cost at all comes out of what you give to the Lord. Thank you. Just while we pray for you, Lord, we're grateful for the well, Father, and for Pastor Brian as he leads the sheep here, Father, and as he's shepherded, may he guide them and just teach them. May they learn, Father, and the members here as they go. Just use them as a bright, shining light, Father. Make them pillars of this community that people can look up to and say, I want to be a Christian, Father. Just use us in a mighty way. In Christ's name we pray.